Hello and welcome back to Betch Slapped. I'm Jordana.
I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And we are here to talk about all the things pop culture and Game of Thrones. Can we please get into everybody who doesn't give a shit about Game of Thrones, just fast forward, go look at the description and see where we stopped talking about it. Exactly. Fast forward now, but we need some time to discuss.
Let's do
it. Yes, we do.
This is the penultimate episode we just watched on Sunday.
Right.
This was supposed to be the craziest one according to the
people. Here's kind of my feeling
from HBO.
What's going on? I feel like they should have done an additional season to this one because everything feels very like rushed.
Everyone is saying that, right. That it's rushed.
Or just had it be 10 episodes rather than 6 because you need time to
marinate. Even though
they're
all an hour and a half.
Yeah, but even if they were an hour, I think the issue is that because it's only 6 episodes, we're experiencing this transition over 6 weeks rather than over 10 weeks. And there's no time in between for like the character develop to marinate right. In our heads.
Which is what we've been saying all like season is like things are like a little too easy. Like they're just like checking shit off to like finish these plots.
Well, it's more like they don't give you time to like internalize. Like, so last week we walked away from, or 2 weeks ago, the last scene was Daenerys walking away after Missandei was killed. And then this week she starts like kind of going crazy.
Right.
But like there's no fill in. Like all you see is her walking away very upset. But like there's not, well, you didn't know what happened.
There's not like a bunch of like tiny little hints that have null and like inevitably lead to like
something
her
big.
Right. Instead, it's like trigger, like. This
although
thing's happening.
I think that over the course, I mean, I kind of agree with the rushness, but I also don't really care that much because, I mean, everyone loves the action of Game of Thrones, and that's just what they're giving us. They just want to close out the season with everybody kind of content. I think that, like, I think that...
Who's content, though? I don't know anyone who's content.
I mean, the thing is, I don't think anybody... There's no way to make everybody happy.
Well, they're
but
just,
I think
they're
no
just closing,
happy.
Like, all
no,
the storylines.
No, I think there are enough people who are fine. Like, there's a calm episode between each crazy episode. And I think, like, in the last episode, was it was there, pretty
was
chill. Yeah, the only crazy thing was the dragon slaying and Missandei. Everything else was just conversation. I think that the whole series they've been showing us that Daenerys has a crazy side to her, but she's always had people on her side. And now that we're seeing that, like, over the course of last season and this season, you show that she's in the north and she's a little bit scared on her own. And now all of her trusted people are either dead or she doesn't trust them anymore. And so she's alone. And I agree it's maybe a little rushed, but I don't think it's that absurd that she would do that. She could be crazy.
Well, I'm actually, so because I'm rewatching
yeah.
things from the beginning, I have like the
yeah.
old context, and she was always making comments like,
yeah.
I'm going to destroy this shit with fire and blood.
Exactly.
She always made comments like that, but okay, because this show, to be honest with you, is so action oriented, I think that it takes away from the psychological aspects of it. And I don't really like the
I hate
action
the action
scenes.
Stuff.
Yeah, like
right.
I can't
yeah,
even
it's
look
so
at it.
Violent.
Like, I can't even look at it. I can't watch people's heads getting cut off. It does nothing for me. You can just literally write on a title card, insert battle scene here, and then tell me who
right.
wins and who and
very
who dies.
Gory death.
And I would be so fine with that because I
agree
do not
that
need to
a lot
watch
of people
it.
Feel that way. But then a lot of people need the action scenes
right. fine
to counterbalance
right.
the quiet sort of slow moving episode.
Right, but
like
I think
the
that
whole
they invest
thing though. Like I prefer like if they did like if maybe they showed like the torturing and the suffering of the people down there for like half of the episode and then they like develop the characters more for the other half. It was like
the
a lot
that-
of the same like Arya just like dodging like falling shit
yeah.
and like
the thing that annoyed me out of everything, the things that annoyed me were really that quick exchange with Arya and the Hound about all of a sudden he's just like, they get to the city center after that entire journey and that's when he goes, kid, don't come with me, you will die. Like,
she's like,
she's like, you're right. Like, she couldn't have said that before.
Right. She came all this way to just
be dodging
all
this just to just change her mind. Like, I understand there's like an element of drama in the sense that they're standing, like it's symbolic that they're standing there in the Red Keep or whatever. But still, it just like,
Right. And then even the thing with the Hound and his brother, I felt like I didn't, like, there was too much time given to that, like, revenge scene to the, like, I didn't really care about
him watch a battle.
Him getting revenge on his brother that much that it needed to take up 20 minutes of the second to last season of the whole show, the episode of the whole show, that, right. like, we need to watch him just continuously being stabbed. Like, I get it. Like, it's hard to kill you. You were, like, very
I'll be honest.
Big.
I think this show has just throughout the entire show and, like, I think they often have sacrificed like actual like expository character development at the they've sacrificed time that they could have spent on that would have made the show better, more enjoyable, at least to me, and spent time on like flashy shit like special effects, big battles. Like, I don't need to see any of that. I really the part that I like is like the sort of dynamics between the people and seeing and like, how psychologically they're affected by the things that happen to them. That's what actually makes the show
interesting. I think they usually do a much better job of creating that balance. I just think this season, again, like
I think they're doing shock value.
Although
I took a few days to think about whether or not I liked the episode. At the end of it, at the end of the day, I liked the episode. I mean, I liked how Jamie and Cersei died. Like, it was very Romeo and Juliet, and it was very like
I like that too. But it was also that was like 5 seconds of the whole episode. Most the vast majority of the episode was just like watching all this like carnage, like over and over and over and over again.
The point. Well, okay, so I watched the like after the final rose, whatever,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and
saw
how
that too.
He was like. It was really important. Like, usually you
see it from like the victim's perspective, but like you could see that for like 20 minutes, not an hour and a half.
I think though you really felt it. You really felt it. And I think also sure. Like, you see it from the victim, but I think really what they were trying to do is show you that Daenerys is not good. This whole time the whole time the audience is led to believe Khaleesi is the mother of dragons, breaker of all chains. Like, she is the queen, but really you're seeing, no, she's actually a mad queen.
Also, or though, maybe I don't think Jon Snow should be king either. He was fucking useless this whole episode.
I know I predicted last week that he's going to sit on the throne, but I actually think he doesn't want it so badly that he would walk away and give it to somebody else. I don't know who, but maybe Tyrion. No, Sansa's going to have the North. She's not a Southerner.
She doesn't seem like she'd be a good ruler either. There's no good
Sansa's
ruler.
Sansa's secretly right. That's the point. That's
the point of everything.
That's the whole point of this.
We just
of this
need
show.
Good
I
enough.
I don't even think that Daenerys. Like, the point is to show that Daenerys is bad or has been bad all along. I think the point is to show that power when people have it, they become corrupt, and that they become more concerned with protecting their power
and making
than
it personal.
About,
yeah.
Than about being a good ruler, because she could have been the good ruler. They showed times when she did things.
Yeah, but she became disillusioned.
No, she didn't become disillusioned. The power went to her head, and she became paranoid that people were trying to take it from her.
Well, no, so, I think though there's part disillusioned. Like when her,
what did she become disillusioned with?
Missandei's death.
Yeah,
like,
but that's
for
not
the
disillusioned.
Sake of. But
that kind of stuff has been happening, I feel like, the whole time.
Not
like,
her trusted people.
Yeah, her husband, very first season, like, gets killed. Like, I feel like
she's
people are constantly.
Shit the whole time.
Everyone who's been betrays
her,
like, casually.
Yeah, but he wasn't killed. He wasn't
Jorah.
Killed in, like.
Yeah, he was. That witch, like, completely, like,
fucked
screwed
her.
he got her to trade,
happened, like,
away immediately. Trade away his life, and he was, like, the. And he was like the dead, the
also,
vegetable, and then she smothered him.
Also,
but
Varys.
That's not how he died.
Yeah, it is. She smothers him. Because
to put him out of his misery, but that's not
he wasn't in misery. He was just a vegetable, and she didn't.
Yeah, but the reason he became a vegetable was just that random guy just killed
her.
I think her point is just that she's been being betrayed like the entire like.
But that's
series.
Not for the. But that wasn't while she's trying to gain power.
She was trying to gain
power
since
the beginning.
That was her first thing.
No, she's still like a delicate little.
No, she wasn't. She just
she was when he dies. Yeah,
she was trying to gain power from the very beginning.
She
it was,
only,
at first it was her brother
like
pushing
her
into
brother
it.
Dies, she's suddenly she, realizes she's like kind
but
of the queen.
Either way, I don't think it's necessarily whatever. We're splitting hairs over whether it's disillusionment. I think it's more that when people get power, it goes to their head and they become they identify themselves with that power,
right.
and then it becomes
they
about maintaining
it.
The power rather than the purpose that they wanted to actually fulfill, which probably was good.
I thought another very unrealistic, weird thing was the Varys thing in the very beginning. Like, this is supposed to be like the smartest guy on the whole show. He has some like half-ass secret-telling plot, and that's how he goes. He's basically like, he tells one person one thing, and then he's like, oh, I guess I'm just like dead. Like, that was like almost like a very shitty attempt at like This guy who plots these long game things.
He just catches him on his way in. Hey, man, like, you think you want to be king? No. All right, I'll die.
Yeah. It was like the dumbest shit ever. Like, couldn't you think that was going to do it?
Like, couldn't he just wait till his little message gets sent out?
Yeah, the guy with the little birds and like all this shit. Like, this is his, like, that seemed like.
That's another example of them phoning it in. But I will say, I never knew really what to make of Varys, but I think he got a good send off. Like, I think he was sent off.
I thought it was too quick. It was like, he's supposed to be smarter than that.
No, I mean, the last impression of him was a positive one.
Yeah, like he made a good speech at the end.
Yeah. Well, here's what bothered me about Cersei. Not so much about how Jaime died. If Jaime's death didn't, that I feel like he got the death that he deserved. Cersei's death, I feel like she got nothing this season. Like she completely, I felt, was not,
but I feel like that's okay.
Done justice.
Shit happened. Like, I feel like that's okay, though.
I don't
like,
know. She's such a compelling character.
Yeah. And they didn't. Right. They ended.
I didn't even think of that, but that's a good point.
Right. She was such a compelling character, and they literally take you on a ride with her. The last.
She's like the most fucked up character. And then she just like dies.
Yeah. The last peak she had was so long ago. And then it literally just like petered out. Like,
I kind of like that because not everything needs a fucking bow. Like, I don't think
it needs a bow.
But it doesn't need to have. Like suddenly justice, karma comes back at her.
No, it doesn't have to. That's not what I'm saying. I think that something interesting could have happened. It doesn't have to be like the just thing that happened. It was weird that she didn't have a plan.
She always has a plan. Like she had.
She did have a great dress on in her death.
She did have a plan and she lost.
But the plan was just to like look out the window and like watch what was happening. Her plan was it had no like interesting.
Like
twist
I wish she
or,
would
like,
have had some sort
thought.
Of or not or or she had maybe had she left something behind or done something like I don't know. Again, I'm not the
so I'm
fucking
they
writer.
Needed, they needed more time in order to like set all these things up, and I just don't think
they had the time.
What
was the point of the pregnancy?
It fell flat. So that the end, she could say like, "I want our child to live," but like, not even anything she's like, even what she was saying upon her death was like not. I don't know. I thought it was good. Like, I'm not upset about the episode.
I like the Tyrion
and Jaime
scene. That was like the only
one.
I
love
really
Tyrion.
I was very sad.
Tyrion will remain.
That was the best scene of the whole episode, I thought.
I agree with you. I also think Tyrion will remain my favorite character. I think unless something goes awry in the last episode, well, Tyrion will stand from as my favorite character from day one.
Because the biggest underdog.
Daenerys is not going to find out that he let Jaime go.
Well, isn't she going to realize that Jaime's gone?
Well, I actually think she will find out.
Jon Snow, I find very annoying.
Boring.
I don't.
But good ruler. Good
I don't.
Set of morals.
I think he's following. He's a really good soldier, and he's that's what he is.
Yeah,
that's
but
what he's always
stopped,
been good
he
at.
He could have like stopped them from like continuing to fight.
He
just
couldn't.
Decided not to.
There was so much.
He couldn't.
He
laid down their swords, and he was going to stop it. He was trying to stop them.
He thought he was supposed to be the leader. He couldn't stop.
But if they couldn't stop it, they took
Daenerys
from Daenerys.
Yeah. So. He started screaming,
fall back, stop, stop, but they kept going.
I don't know. I felt like he could have like had a
no,
stronger
he could not.
Role here.
No, he couldn't
have
because
she was
going crazy. Here's what I thought the most. I will say.
He's
this
also
episode,
disillusioned.
The scene. Yeah, he is. And rightfully so. He's like been dead. So what I thought was the best part of the possibly the season was that scene with the bells when they're like all the people were like saying ring the bells.
Yes.
That was incredible. Yeah. And then like watching their faces, like watching Cersei, watching Daenerys, watching Jon, and like just that moment was so good. I wanted it to last longer.
Yeah.
Even like it lasted very long. Yeah. But I wanted it to keep going. Like it was so intense.
Because it was such suspense.
Right.
And
that was
silence.
The moment. Right. But like again, like that's the moment that she officially snaps. But like why? But they didn't. Why? Like
she
when
snaps
she was doing
because
that, I was
she,
like, "Why
this
are you
isn't
doing
enough?"
This?
Because she got what she wanted. She won at the top of that moment. She won. They surrendered.
Yeah,
she got King's Landing, but it wasn't enough for her. She's like, "This is how it's going to end." Fuck that.
That sounds great.
No,
it sounds amazing.
Normally, but because it's a reflection of her actual character. She wants fire and blood. She wanted that shit. It's anticlimactic for her. She wanted to fuck shit up. She wanted a psychotic ending. She wanted like nothing. She wanted to go face to face with Cersei. But what I didn't understand is why
didn't
she just
go
take her damn dragon, fly to Cersei, and burn her down in the end? But she didn't.
Right. Well, I think that's, but again, that shows you that it's really not about her as much as it's about what power does to people.
Yeah.
Because it's not
because
she already had it. So but it's I like think she it's had it. She needed to assert it again. She needs to be like, not only am I number one, but I'm going to kill all of you.
She says, like, I guess it's going to be fear then. And then this is the only way she can do it because she has no one.
It was just kind of like,
no, that's John, to everything. Like, this is how it's going to be. I don't have John.
If John had just like texted her back,
she might have had him on. I know.
No, he was like not looking to hook up. He like did not reply to her. You on text.
Right.
And she was like, fuck this shit. I guess I'm just going
to
go like.
He wasn't looking to hook up, but he was still down to like, you're still my queen.
Yeah. And she says, that's all I am. Like, she wants to fuck him. And he, if only goddamn pussy John would just like,
he's useless.
Like, just be like, no, okay, I'll have sex with you. But they explain that in Winterfell, like the North, incest is weird. And for the Targaryens in the South.
Is that why he's not into it?
Yeah, he's weird about it. Like, it's incest is weird there. Whereas the Targaryens, they're all very incestuous and it's normal for them. Like, they're all their bloodlines. And that's why they say with the Targaryens, you flip a coin. What are you going to get? Because they're all like highly incestuous. Like, Daenerys's mom and dad are brother and sister.
Right.
They kept saying that, but so are the Lannisters. So they kept saying that. I felt that was their cheap way of.
John has just no manipulative abilities. He's no manipulation abilities.
That's a good thing for a ruler. That's
not really, because like he could have just avoided all this destruction if he had just been like.
I don't think he realized it was that clear of a choice that it was in his hands.
She said, "Let it be fear." Then,
but to him, she was saying that to him, not to everyone. But either way, I think
that's why I think Sansa is a better ruler.
She's gonna rule the North. She's not gonna rule King's Landing. I promise.
So Tyrion is.
Maybe, or I don't know. He should. I love Tyrion. But here's the thing with
he is good.
It's just funny that like she went all Amanda Bynes because like John wouldn't like fuck her.
I found it bothersome that the way that they sort of allowed themselves to let her go crazy was that they kept being like, well, the gods flip a coin when a Targaryen's born. So that's how they like excuse themselves from having to explain why she went, from having to show her actual descent. They just kept filming her like from the side, like glassy eyed, like looking crazier.
Oh yeah. She looked like strung out.
Yeah, they did that on purpose. That's why they were like shooting her from the side in darkness in like that room. Like they tried to basically
use. She was upset. She has she's no one on her side anymore.
But I found it frustrating that rather than it's because of the length of the season, rather than allowing her to like have a development like as a person, they used like all of these like other devices to rationalize why that was what happened.
If this wasn't the last season though, like,
it
let's
would be
say
fine. What I'm saying.
It would be kind of okay.
No, I think that they would have maybe slowed things down if this wasn't the last
they
season. They
would have
had more time.
But we
to, like,
would have been okay with it. I think we're more so just upset that it's ending.
I think we're mad at HBO for not ordering 10 episodes.
I'm fine with it ending because I don't like it as much anymore because it doesn't have the same like development and like really like slow methodical placement of things. So I'm kind of like, this is how it's going to be now. Like, I'll just stop watching. I'm fine
with
it.
Well, you only have one more. Like 2 more hours.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm going to keep watching. But it's like, I don't think I'm upset because it's ending. I think I'm upset because they're like fucking it up.
Yeah, that they could have like, they could have really.
I think in the grand scheme of the whole series, I think it's okay what they're doing. I just like, I feel okay, it's fine.
It
like,
doesn't
let's
bother
wrap
me that
it up.
Much.
All shows need to culminate at something, at some point, at some dramatic ending. And then the last episode needs to feel like we're either at peace or it's either just going to go back to the beginning the way that it always was, which I think it is going to at the end of this. It's like, again, the North versus the South.
Well, I just think, or they might be united. I just think this didn't end as well as, say, Breaking Bad or The Sopranos, which I felt had comprehensive endings rather than sort of like.
Well, it didn't end yet. Let's wait till next episode.
I guess we'll see
next
week.
Here's the thing. Next episode is probably going to be like all talking and like political shit.
That's how Sopranos end.
Right. No, that's my favorite. That's my favorite.
I guess we shall see.
This episode has been brought to you by Third Love, our favorite bra company.
Yeah, so Third, if you guys haven't heard of Third Love, it's a really amazing bra company that doesn't have just the standard sizes. It has 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. And if you have no idea what size is for you, don't worry, because they have a quiz. So they have a Fit Finder quiz. Over 12 million women have taken this quiz.
It's a fun and easy quiz.
It's so fun. I mean, Omni. We personally take it. It's so...
I mean, I didn't get into Omni, but I did get 100 on the Fit Finder quiz.
Exactly. And you don't get 100. What you get is your shape and your size. So it's not only just... You're not just like boiled down just like a number. You have various different sizes that could be good for you. And if you don't love it, if you're like, actually, I think that maybe I was, didn't answer this truthfully in my quiz, you have 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it, but Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need, which I find is the best thing that they offer. And it makes me feel so happy.
Bras should be free for all women. It's not really fair that we have to wear them.
Or we should be...
Using our Third Love discount.
Exactly.
Which is 15% off today if you use our promo code BETCH. So Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. Right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/BETCH now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/BETCH for 15% off today.
Let's talk about the bride who faked her own wedding.
Yeah, great.
So in completely unrelated news... But
sort of. I mean, this is a powerful family.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody explain it.
Okay. I'll explain it. This girl, her name's Andy Patinkin. Her dad owns car dealerships. He's worth
Not related to Mandy Patinkin.
That's a different person. Yeah. But different. If you drive down,
it's so
I think,
funny if the story was about Mandy Patinkin.
But it's funny. After we talked about this show, about this story, I was driving down, like, I guess 10th Avenue or one of those avenues all the way to the west at where all the car dealerships are. And there's a huge sign, Patinkin. They sell like Cadillacs and shit.
Oh.
So this girl, and I remember this wedding from when it happened because it introduced me to the Amangiri Resort, which I've been
don't
trying
remember
to
go.
I was waiting for you to say the name of it because I do not know how to pronounce it.
I might be wrong. Amangiri.
It might be that. I don't know. Whatever. But I remember this wedding. I remember the girl had this dress that looked like sea anemones sort of on the skirt.
What year was this? Like,
it was
I never saw this wedding.
Okay. I saw this wedding and it was like in the desert. It was very cool looking. It was just very cool. Whatever. This girl, Andy Patinkin, she marries.
And it's not just a wedding. It's like a 4-day affair.
It was one of those big
But there's
things.
A lot of those. People have those.
But, just
but not an Amangiri.
Yeah, but people do it in Italy, whatever. So, okay. So she marries this guy, Jordan Blackmore. He's like a hairstylist to the stars. They really dated for
he
a long
is?
Time. Yeah, like yeah. He's Marc Jacobs, like hairstylist. So they date. They met in 2006, I think, in a nightclub, Miami.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Yes, according to the New York Post.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And Betches.com, we have an article explaining yes. this if you are interested in reading it. She was, I think, 17. I think he was 21 or 22. They date for a while. It seems to be a real relationship. They get they get engaged. They're going to get married at the fancy hotel of a name we can't pronounce.
Amangiri.
So maybe. Let's give some background on the dad.
So the dad is this famous car dealer. He's
worth
$150 million. Yes. So basically, as she's getting married,
but the dad has been through a divorce
three,
or two of his own,
and in one of those situations, his prenup got invalidated, and he had to pay his ex-wife or whatever $30 million. So that's where the dad's coming from. So his daughter Andy and Jordan are getting married, and Jordan is like a little bit slow to sign a prenup because it was apparently a very harsh prenup. I assume he gets like nothing in the prenup, mm-hmm. but he eventually did sign it. But in the process of him maybe disagreeing or whatever it was, the New York Post alleges, this
and,
reputable
and
source,
Jordan.
And Jordan, in a lawsuit, alleges that she and her father kind of hatched this plan to not really actually
to
get officially married, but to trick him into thinking that they did.
Married, right.
Right. So the way that she does this is... They're getting married.
Allegedly.
Alleged, whatever. Is that they're getting
this
married.
This whole thing is like alleged.
Just
for the record.
Insert allegedly between all my sentences. So they get married in Utah and it's her friend who's like her yoga instructor who's going to officiate.
Very on brand.
Very on brand for this whole thing. You got to check out her dress, guys. Like that's really the key thing. That is.
I was most impressed by the fact that you had to break over the open the invitation inside a rock.
We didn't even get there yet.
I'm sorry.
So we have to go into the details of the wedding after because that just like drives home how ridiculous this all is. So. Okay, she gets her friend to officiate. She tells her friend that the yoga instructor, you don't need to get ordained in Utah because this is just like, we're just doing it there. We're going to really get married in New York. Okay, so the friend, whatever, does this. the Jordan, though, doesn't necessarily realize, allegedly, that they
or so
are
he
not.
He says that. Like, not who cares about alleged, but it's more so that he claims
he says
that
he
doesn't realize.
He thought they were married. Yeah. He thought they were married. I mean, he probably so they get married. They right. have this huge wedding. The wedding is insanely extravagant. It's a 4-day affair. They fly everyone on private jets. She has a billion outfit changes. If you look at her wedding on the coveteur, it is like divided into sections and it literally looks like it's a photo shoot for a wedding.
Right, well, that's why she had this wedding.
Right.
Supposedly.
Right. So then
she did it for PR.
For PR.
That's what they say, even though it seems like they really did like date and like were really like eligible to get married. Like this isn't totally fake. But again, like Jordana mentioned, it was very extravagant to get the invitation. You had to like, it came with a hammer. It was a rock and you had to came with a hammer to break it open to get the invitation.
So it's like what Kim Kardashian based her like invites with the chocolate on.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. So the lawsuit that he fought. So basically, fast forward 3 years, they're married for 3 years. She cheats on him and basically says this marriage is over. And in the papers or whatever, the papers refer to something called their symbolic union. And he was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, we're married.
In their separation papers.
Right, because it's not really a divorce. So that's what happens. And he now is suing because he's saying that this was like, basically that she and her father had hatched this plot.
Doesn't he realize he never like signed, like he never went to court? Hasn't he seen all those other Instagrams with the people with outside the court steps being like, it's a fish.
My thing is like over the course of 3 years, you didn't wonder about like your taxes or like anything remotely having to do with the legality of being married.
Well, maybe they filed separately and like for other reasons.
But you still check off married. You don't check off single.
Right.
Well, maybe they just lied on their taxes. I don't know.
Like, here's what I think. I think that he knew and he is really just like pissed that she's breaking up with him. And he is owed alimony for this shit.
But did it not entitle him to alimony?
I don't know what the prenup said.
That's prenuptial. If they don't have a nuptial, then he's entitled to something based on like any.
I don't
like,
get it.
Like nuptial means marriage. If there's no actual marriage, then the prenup is void.
I'm saying, but he thought he signed a prenup, which said that he wasn't getting anything anyway. So what's the difference?
Well, we don't know what the prenup actually said. Like, we don't actually know what it ended up saying. But either way, now he's suing them for $2 million. And he's also saying that, like, the father never came through on, like, a promised $300,000 investment.
Fund some shit. Right.
Right. So that's why you guys may think that he's lying.
Well, here's my thought. It's almost like these people obviously shouldn't have gotten married, and it seems like they didn't.
Who knows, whatever. Should or shouldn't get married.
I mean, it just seems.
They obviously didn't have that healthy or strong of a relationship. If one, she's quote unquote deceiving him with the help of her father.
Yeah,
there's clearly like for him, I'm sure there's like the part of the reason he wants to be with her is because of all this money. And like,
and also there was a part of it. Did we say this that like he was banking on the dad, her wife's dad, to put an investment in his company, and that fell through?
Well, I don't know if he was banking on it, but he might have offered. You're saying banking meaning he needed it, but like who knows if he really
expected it.
Or it was maybe the father said that it was no, but it doesn't.
It would be an unrealistic assumption for him to be like, if I'm his daughter's husband, maybe he will invest in my business.
But I don't think it was like he was getting married to her to get an investment. Like, I think that.
No, maybe it's part of it.
He was getting an investment.
None of these things exist on their own in a bubble. Like, part of her appeal is probably also her family money. Like, let's not pretend like people are just
falling
in love in a vacuum.
She's an art dealer.
Right. So exactly.
Right. Like, I think both of them were kind of using each other for her. Probably it was like to get this wedding. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she did love him.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
think
possible.
They really
I'm sure she had a relationship
at some point.
Yeah. Whether or not she thought this would definitely last forever.
OK. Here's
is like
the thing.
A different
they met
question.
In 2006. They got married in like what? 2015 or something. So like, I don't think that they faked a 9-year relationship so that she could have a wedding. Like,
I thought
that's dumb.
Right. I don't
she could have had an extravagant wedding to anybody.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if he would he have ever known if she didn't decide she was over it?
We don't know if he does or doesn't know.
Maybe it was one of those situations, like, you know, those situations where it's like people have been dating so long and then they just get married, but they don't, like, they're over it, but they just still get married anyway. Maybe it was one of those.
To go through the motions.
Maybe it was one of those, and she did really like love him to some degree.
Right.
I don't know.
Do I think this guy is like entitled to $2 million? Like, not really.
I don't know.
I think it actually depends
on like the fact that like, I don't know. Okay. It is pretty sociopathic to fake a wedding like with your officiant and not include.
But then on top of that, go and have an affair.
But also like,
I think
that's wrong no matter
what. You're dating this person for 9 years. There's no way you don't know that there's something in their nature that makes them capable of doing such a thing.
I don't know. Maybe some people are more like they see the good in people and they're a bit more like easily fooled.
This guy who's dating this super wealthy, like multi-millionaire.
I don't know, but that's
you don't know what he's like.
Even if he could have, he would. Okay. If he thought that she's capable of doing something, maybe he didn't think that this specific thing is what she would actually do. You know, right. Like I could be friends with someone and be like, yeah, I'm sure she would do something crazy, but not actually assume she would actually do it.
Yeah. That's you like know? Such a like, significant thing.
This is someone you're going to marry.
Yeah. But so what? So what? People, every single person who gets married knows their partner 100%. No, like almost less.
I think the idea that someone would like fake a wedding is like really pretty out there. Like even if you're rich, even if you have shown manipulative tendencies in the past, like even if you've known the person for 9 years and you really feel like you know them, like I think that faking a wedding, like being in cahoots with the officiant is like
right.
That seems
like the
up.
Devious thing seems like that she told the girl like she didn't need to get ordained. Like if you kind of, I could sort of see a situation in which like neither of them realized you needed to get like an actual contract.
I could see that too, but here's the thing.
But I would do the same thing like with my partner and say we don't need to actually get officially married in Utah. Who needs that?
Right, but that,
let's get actually marriage certificate in New York.
Right. Well, apparently the laws in Utah are that you actually have to like have an ordained officiant like for it to be legit, like if whatever.
But who
I don't
cares
know.
If it's legit or whatever. Not legit,
I know? I don't know. I think the main point is the fact that like she faked this wedding, like that she basically fooled him, like no matter what the other facts
but again,
are
as so
that,
he
that
says,
doesn't change.
It's only a big deal because he didn't work out.
I think it like
otherwise
he'd
be none the wiser.
I think he's
not
just
really.
Claiming that she fooled him. I have a sneaking suspicion. I just feel like he just didn't think it was a big deal at the time because he didn't think they would get like quote unquote divorced.
But here's the thing. You're going to like at what point is he going to be like, so when are we going to get actually married?
Maybe he
no
thought
point?
That they did get married like in New York.
I mean, as an adult
so
person
thought,
in like the world
in
the United States,
he might be.
You have to have some sense of like personal responsibility, like make sure that you got married, like sign some. Like for me, if like I feel like if I was getting married and I never signed an official document, I'd be like, that's weird. That, like,
yeah, but you're
I never
smarter
anything.
Than most people. You're smarter and more aware of
to
of
know
reality.
That you have to sign a
no,
document
like,
to be legally married.
No, but I agree with her in the sense that you need to have some personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Like I once fucked up a credit card thing, and I realized like I kept fighting with them, and really I was just fighting my own stupidity. And I was just like, all
right,
I'll give in. So like that,
even to get a passport, you have to sign something. Yeah. Like,
I mean, my feelings on this have nothing to do with like who's right and who's wrong. But it really, my only feeling really stops and ends at the fact that like she manipulated this person into thinking a maybe or allowed him to believe.
I think it's fucked up, but I also don't.
I think the most fucked up thing is really that she had an affair after all of this and doesn't want to. And like, and he's and
that
probably
could be fucked up in any situation.
And probably
though.
Like. And probably doesn't want to give him any money for it as like in a divorce settlement because that goes against the law of marriage. Exactly.
I have a feeling that he's a little he's not quite as innocent as he
I agree
comes
with that.
Off. But I don't know to the extent.
I think he may not be innocent and he may not have the part like he might be just like too not like he should have taken responsibility for knowing whether or not he was actually married. But the fact that even if. The fact that she would take advantage of his stupidity or whatever.
It's probably her dad taking. Probably the dad being like, listen, both of these people are kind of stupid. This is my money on the line.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not going to let these fucking idiots.
I agree with that.
Like go out there and have they can have a fun party, but I'm not with my money on the line.
Right. He's like only a million. Right. Which is how much it costs.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, that's probably more. The dad is probably like the real mastermind behind all of this.
I agree with
that.
Going
back to Game of Thrones.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I play a little game. So if anybody wants to hear more or read more or see more, go to betches.com. It's on the front of our website. Also, we should mention that today is an amazing, important day because launch of our paperback book, When's Happy Hour, is today. It's out. So if you want to get the cheaper version of our book, a lighter version of the book, something you can toss around in your bag, that
shake it out. Yeah.
You know, get it today. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. You can get it on Shop Betches. We've sold so many on Shop Betches today. It's actually amazing.
If you haven't gotten your copy, make sure you get it ASAP.
I would love to get it. It's really just go When's Happy Hour paperback, go to shopbetches.com, get the paperback
version. If you know someone who's graduating college and really and doesn't know what to do with their life, this is like the perfect gift.
I think this is also the great gift of, like, not necessarily graduating, but a lot of people go through like quarter life crises when they are like, just don't know what. I mean, I've been studying this my whole life. I graduated, I went into this job, and now what? Like, do I love this? This is my passion. So we go through all of that in the book, and I think it's just like a, we kind of like cut the shit, learn about yourself through career. So pick up the book, get it for someone, read it together, talk about it in your chat, do a book club with it. I don't fucking know.
You could do whatever you want with it. As long as you buy it.
Wipe your ass. Yeah. When's Happy Hour? Paperback. All and right. So we're doing a panel tonight at Made by Way.
If you happen to listen to this at exactly 5 p.m.,
you run really fast.
Yeah. And if you love career stuff, we also have a podcast where we interview other entrepreneurs, a lot of people who didn't go to business school but have figured out a way to be successful. It's called the When's Happy Hour podcast.
And the people on the season are amazing. We have the Fat Jewish, we have Julie Rice, Barbara Corcoran. Soul Cycle, Barbara Corcoran, Baked by Melissa. Who's up, Snooki?
Snooki. Yeah, we have a lot, and we have a lot more coming. So
it's gonna be
check
great.
It out. You guys want to jump to some emails?
Let's do it.
Imagine if I was just like, nope, I'm leaving.
We'll be right back.
I'm some out. Emails.
So as you know, I just moved into a new apartment, and I got a brand new king bed.
A king for your king?
For a king for my king. That was actually his caption
That's
idea.
That's really funny. I thought it might be, honestly. I was like, there's no way she would ever do this on her own.
It was his. I was like, okay, that's kind of like almost a little romantic.
That's sure. What I thought. I was like, this is very publicly romantic for her. Like, lots of people are going to see this.
Well, I'm in a romantic mood. I just moved in with my boyfriend, and we have a new King Lisa hybrid mattress. It's a Sapira, which is their most advanced luxury hybrid mattress. It's made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. And it's designed with the best of both worlds in mind. I've been sleeping on it now for a few nights, and it's amazing. I've had a really, really good night's sleep, and I love having a king bed. Because now that I will be sleeping in the same bed as someone for a very long time, it's nice to have your own space.
Isn't it weird that like you're never going to not like share a bed?
I mean, if all goes well, then
ideally,
it's like the best case scenario. I never get my own bed ever again.
Right. I know.
And that's
like weird.
And that's commitment.
Right. I know.
But it's great because, like, you know, having a good night's sleep is like really just the key to having a good day and being on your shit and having like everything like just go better for you the next day. I feel like you eat healthier, you are healthier, you feel better, you feel like you're more brain power. And all Lisa products have been thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed and to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary that you want to spend time in. And I know that you can definitely relate to that, since we both talk about how we really need to when we're home, we need like our space and a sanctuary where we can just like be,
not talk to anyone,
right? Just be and be good. And Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits, which is also like really
a
amazing.
Lot. Yeah.
It's like very, very good for the world.
Love it.
They're made in the USA. There's in-home delivery and setup is available. Also, financing is available.
Yeah.
So don't miss out. Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper. Order today and get 15% off your purchase for a limited time at lisa.com/slapped and use promo code slapped. That's LEESA.com/slapped. Promo code slapped. And keep in mind that you also get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and free returns.
Dear Betches,
I just have a lot of feelings.
I'll read the first one. Yeah. Dear Betches, longtime listener, first time asking for advice. Eagerly seeking your level of expertise on handling awkward social situations. I like this email because it reminds me of how I used to write emails in college, all one big paragraph.
Would do it if you could.
I would if I could. One of my best friends is planning her wedding. I assumed I would be a bridesmaid because we treat each other like family, and if I were getting married, she would 1,000% be in my wedding. I was surprised and hurt to learn I didn't make the cut for being a bridesmaid. When I talked to her about it, she told me she was obligated and had to put others in the wedding, such as her sisters and friends she's known since childhood, and can't further expand on the wedding party because her groom wanted a smaller party. I'm not some psycho bitch and completely understand my place in her life and that others come first. She verbalized she wants me to be involved in every step of the way, and that means more than standing at the front during the ceremony. Mm-hmm. It may be my own shit, but I feel rejected as fuck still. Sorry, AF still. And I am now constantly overanalyzing and thinking why I wasn't good enough to make the cut. I have every intention of being there for her and helping with the usual bachelorette, bridal, day of, etc. How do I get over this feeling of being left out and feeling like I'm not good enough? Can't help but feel like the actual bridesmaids are going to have that she doesn't even go here look when I try to support or help plan things, even though my BFF asked me. While I realize this is a lot of girls' dream to not be asked, it's turning into a sore spot for me. I certainly don't want to distance myself because I can't get my shit together and handle my emotions. This may also have to do with the fact that I keep asking what my place will be at her wedding. I'm single, going without a date, and know her friends, but not super close, so I'll be sitting alone, trying to focus on the bigger picture and just be happy for her. But I need to get over this hump to really do that. This is taking away from the overall excitement. Any thoughts? Sincerely, bridesmaid rejected bitch.
I feel so sad for her.
I do too. I feel like this is a new close friend. Like someone who just, maybe they moved to the same town.
This is one of my best friends.
Right, but I think it's a newly close. I feel within the past maybe 2 years.
Does she have any other friends?
That's not in the email. But
okay, well, I guess she said she has to put her friends in since childhood. And
no,
and her sisters.
The one who's writing the email.
No, I'm saying what she's saying, the other one has childhood friends, so maybe she has a newer friend.
I think she has newer friends where maybe like you need to sort of figure out like why you want to help her. Do you want to help her for recognition that you are such a good friend that you are like?
Are you a 2 in the Enneagram? Because that would be a very 2 like thing to do.
I don't know what that means. I really need to learn. but like, are you really doing these things for the recognition of like being that supportive friend? Or are you really doing it just to help her out? Because if you were doing it just to help her out, you won't give a shit what those other bridesmaids really think, you know?
Right. But here's not to bash your friend. But it sounds like she wants you to do all the annoying shit associated with being a bridesmaid without any of the honor.
I agree,
that's not really being stated here, but like that's kind of an annoying ask. It's basically being like, I would love for you to do all this work.
I don't think
but
that
not
asked
actually.
Her. Well, she says that, but I really
she wants
feel
her to do
like,
all this stuff
I
and be
I feel
up there.
Like it was a response to when the girl was like, "Do you like I really want to be there for you?" And she should probably be like, "Well, yeah, if you want, you can, you know, do
right, come to all the things
yeah.
and do
it.
Right, cuz I don't see the first girl being like, "You're not a bridesmaid, but here's the list for the bridal shower."
I feel like maybe
I think you need to reevaluate this friendship.
Honest conversation with yourself and like say, okay, she doesn't want me to be your bridesmaid. Then you know what? I don't think it's really my job to go and do these things unless you genuinely in your heart of hearts need to give, you know, like, but you can't expect something back. Like that's what you're not getting over. You want to give and help her, but you can't expect recognition back.
Also, if it's bothering you and your emotions are sort of in the way, that's okay because you don't have to do anything. Like, why don't you just not do anything?
Right. Because she wants to put herself up as like someone who's very special in this person's life. But this might be a good opportunity for you to sort of evaluate this friendship because clearly it might be more one-sided than you think it is. And I think,
maybe it's just newer. And like,
but
perhaps,
but also like you don't need to like keep giving and giving like sort of a needy way just for that person to sort of recognize that you're a good friend. Like in friendships, it has to go both ways. So like you can take a step back and be like, okay, like if you didn't really want me to be a bridesmaid, that's fine. I'll just come to your wedding. I'll be there to support you in that way. But I can't, you know, just go and help you plan everything. It's honestly like, I love you, but you know, You want to pay me? Like,
well, here's the thing. You don't even have to like offer. Like, you don't have to continue this conversation. She's probably going to feel weird about it. What I recommend this girl does, I recommend she looks into the Enneagram. She is probably, no, I'm serious. She's probably a two. Basically, the way the Enneagram works is different numbers. They're not like qualitative or quantitative. They all represent like what your motivation is. And some people are motivated by giving because it makes them feel important. And there's different reasons that you might be motivated to give. It might be like totally just genuine and selfless, or at different levels, it might be that like you like the attention you get from giving, or it might be that you like to feel needed. So I would look into this like personality, I guess, system, and see if that's how you identify, because then you can understand how you relate to the world and how, like, why it's so important for you to like, to be involved. Like, again, like you said, like some girls would be their dream not to be asked. Like, you save a ton of money, you save a ton of time, you are less hassled.
I also
can wear whatever you want, but you obviously want to do this because you want to be involved. And why is that? So maybe examine that, and it'll help you understand yourself better.
I also think examine like what is that feeling that you're actually feeling, not necessarily like. She's like, why can you not sit with your emotions? You're saying that if you take a step back, you can't even handle that. So like, you have to understand like what, like why, what's missing? Are you actually just projecting this, like another feeling on this situation? Like, maybe you're upset that you're not going with a date, or that you're not like, you feel a little left out from this, all these other people, or that maybe there's other friends that you are distancing yourself. So maybe like, look at it.
I don't think it's about this thing.
Really understand that feeling, why you can't sit with yourself.
Right. I also feel like, because I do feel like this is probably a new friend, and she thought like, oh, this, like, we're closer than we are, and maybe this is like putting it into place for her, and she feels like she had really come to rely on this person, and it feels shitty.
Yeah.
Understandably.
All right. Do you want me to read the next one? It's kind of long.
Yes, you can do it.
Okay. Love you guys and all your podcasts. I'm 22 and I've been out of college for a year now. In high school, I had a very close group of friends, but I never really found them in college. And it's something I really missed during those 4 years. Well, this past year, I found myself on the edge of two different friend groups. One is the girls I used to hang out with in high school, and we have rekindled the group after all moving back to our hometown. And the second is a group of girls I was friends with during my semester abroad in college. My issue this past year is that while I love both groups of friends equally, I feel like trying to fit in into both has A, prevented me from being as close with the girls in each one, and B, has left me feeling burnt out and like I don't have enough time to do everything. Obviously, these two problems play into each other. For example, this past weekend, I had just gotten back from a week-long trip to Spain and was super tired and looking forward to a quiet weekend of staying in to sleep, doing laundry, Pilates, whatever. But then Friday, the college group friend invited me to a baseball game to celebrate one of their birthdays. So I went and ended up going out till 2 a.m. Then Saturday, our old friend from high school that lives in a different city came into town. And we all decided to go get happy hour, which turned into going out until 2 a.m. again. I could have done the baseball game and HH, happy hour, but skipped the partying. But let's face it, once I have a couple drinks, I'm always down. Plus, I feel a lot of bonding happens in those late nights out. I feel like I need to invest in spending more time with each group if I am ever going to be considered a true part of either one. I have also tried to merge these two groups, but this is like Alexa. In middle school. Merge these two groups, but they're both so tight-knit and hasn't worked. I am just sick of feeling tired / hungover all weekend, every weekend. And my job is so time intensive that I'm out of the house 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, including my commute. So hanging out during the week is also exhausting, an exhausting option, although I do have bachelor night, etc. So I'm not just staying all week. It's very specific. What do I do? Do I just need to pick a group in order to truly become part of one? I am sick of feeling slightly left out at all times, but I also love both of these groups of girls. I've considered setting a boundary with myself and only going out on Saturdays moving forward, but I think that will prevent me from seeing both groups of girls every weekend. And again, that brings me back to feeling slightly like an outcast. Any thoughts and advice would be appreciated. Cheers, burnt out bitch.
This is like such a 22-year-old.
This is like the quintessential 22-year-old issue. Because no one's, once you get, the older you get, the less time everyone is hanging out together in a group.
Also.
Constantly.
And the less important it is that you're at everything.
No, right. But it's also, the key thing that she keeps repeating is truly becoming part of the group, which is something that is such like a reflection of youth, because you aren't like, you don't feel like an individual then. You feel like you need a group.
She's not talking about any individual within the group that she wants to maintain a friendship with.
It doesn't really matter. Right. It's like you need to be in the core group chat is like what it is. It's that like feeling of that. It's not even belonging. It's like you just need, you need the crew.
You need the status in the crew. Like the crew. You need to be named. Like if there were AIM profiles, you want to be in the AIM profile of life.
Exactly.
But this isn't as significant as the relationships that you have with individuals within the group.
Right.
Which is something that is probably more important and will become more important the older you get.
Later.
Things become less about like what crew I'm in and more about like my individual relationships with various
which
people.
Which doesn't help
it.
Her now though. So
but
like
the reason that the crews are so important is because that's probably how everyone thinks.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sure everyone in the crew is like not focusing on their individual
because
friendships.
When one person decides like it's cool to be an individual, then somebody else is like, oh wait,
they look like they're having a good time
like
being themselves.
They don't give as much of a fuck as I do.
Right. And this is very hard advice to follow, but I think if I were you, I'd be like, this is how much energy, everyone only has a certain amount of energy to give. It's not like an unlimited amount of energy for everything.
Could be rusty and you could have unlimited energy.
Generally, most people have like a finite amount of energy, and the way that you choose to spend that either can make you happier or can make you less happy. And this sounds like you're overexerting yourself for like something that you think will make you happy, which is maximizing your time with these two groups of people, when like it really is much more important to think about the quality of that. So
I think that none of them are having quality is like,
well, no, I think you can have quality in a group of people. Like you can have fun nights out that are like make memories and have high quality things, but you don't have, but doing that every week doesn't usually mean that every week it's high quality. So I would pick like one or two nights a month per group maybe, and be like, these nights I'm going out, I'm gonna like fully immerse myself, I'm gonna fully be there and be present and like get really into this. I'm not gonna be tired because I'm not doing this all the time. This doesn't feel like redundant and like old like it would if you did it every week or every weekend day.
Right.
And but just, sort of be in that moment. And it's okay to hang out with really want to hang out with a group and feel left out if you're not doing that, or feel kind of like a FOMO situation, which is a natural thing to feel.
But do you feel like that answer is like,
it doesn't work for
it
them.
It doesn't work because in reality, like the being part of all the nights out is kind of like what gives her this feeling of belonging, which is more important at this
point. But that's in her own mind, I think.
Right, but I think that it is, but I think that it genuinely does matter in the situation. Like I think it does matter.
If you put yourself in your 22-year-old shoes, like the idea of just sitting at home and being okay with that while everyone is out is so impossible. Because you think that you are this, everyone is talking shit about you, and you
they
think
are
they yeah
I think it's more about like wanting to be out and do things, and you have more energy when you're younger.
No,
but like I'm saying the alternative, like she's saying that she wants to stay, like she can't handle it. You gotta just like, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I think she needs to either maintain this schedule.
Yeah.
If you want the feeling of the belonging, which you have when you're 22. With the two groups. You got to maintain this kind of annoying schedule. But here's what I think she needs to hear. Is that you're 22 now, but in the next like 5 years,
you will not be 22.
People are going to go. Yeah. People are going to go in different directions. People like these friend groups will shift. Other people may be feeling how you feel. You might decide that you maybe really only like one or two people in each group. And you might decide that you're totally fine just kind of floating around, immersing yourself in those friendships. And that being part of this big crew might start to matter less to you. Maybe as it starts to matter less to other people.
These crews will not be hanging out three nights a week. For the next 3 years, they won't.
25, I was still going out all the time.
At 25, probably. At 27, no. But they might, you know, some might get boyfriends and they might decide they don't go out as much. And the importance of this might lessen. But while it is as it is, if you want that feeling of belonging, which is like somewhat of a farce maybe, but it's fine because that is as real as it is to you at this age.
Yeah.
Like, you might just have to keep doing this.
Or you sit and or you decide if you're you don't able care. To, if you're like, you can, if you have enough self-awareness right now, think about like what actually makes you happy at this age and like spending time with these people. Like, what is it that makes you happy? Or is it really you just want to not feel left out or not talk shit about? If that's the thing right. that, like, if you actually enjoy hanging out with the semester abroad people, spend more time with them. If you, like, you don't, you know, like, just either think about what makes you happy and then follow that. Or
if you have the self-awareness,
or keep up the schedule.
Yeah. Right. And yeah. eventually, I mean, every single decision yeah. you make is weighing your yeah. how bad you want to stay home and not go out versus how much you want to potentially have a fun night. So
but one,
the stakes are not that high, I think.
Also, one thing she could do is like,
don't fall off maybe, the face of the earth.
Maybe don't like take action right now. Like maybe just over time, start to pay attention to how you feel when you're with various people and who you actually feel like might be worthwhile investing in. And then allow your decisions. Don't think about like you have to have one strategy, like just each decision, like each night out, allow that to be driven more by like your case internal feelings basis. On a slow and steady
yeah.
path. Like it doesn't have to be like you have to change something right now.
All right, let's play okay, games.
Let's play a game.
This episode is sponsored by Lola. Lola is a company that brings a modern approach to feminine care. They're a female-founded business offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleaning wipes. They are founded by women for women. Unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. No BS, no mystery fibers, no doubts about what's going in your body. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription. It's really amazing.
Yeah, so honestly, the subscription is really great. I've tried it. And you can customize like what you want. So the number of boxes, how often you want them delivered. It's really, really flexible. You can like skip a month if you just don't feel like it, or you like stocked up or you had too much, you know, things change every month. So like you can really build your box of however many you want. So
no pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended on the box. So like you can have a box of 18 tampons or 12 pads. You can have a mix. You can have super jumbo. You can have a light. So if you have a heavy flow and a wide set vagina, you can get the right Lola products for that. And it's really up to you. I love how custom it is because that's so important. Everybody is different. And what I need is so different than what Sammy needs. And like when
I just know,
like I know your body. So anyway, for 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter promo code BETCH when you subscribe. That again, that's 40% off all subscriptions. Visit mylola.com, enter code BETCH when you subscribe.
I love Lola, and not just because this is an ad. I really do.
Yeah. They're amazing.
Let's play this game called Were They Married, based on this pop culture moment this week with the fake wedding. So we'll give you the celebrity couple and you guess whether they are married or not.
Well, we guess.
You guess. And you guys at home.
Yes. Listeners at home. Okay.
All right. Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher.
Yeah, they're married now.
They dated for 8 years before getting married in 2010.
Yeah, and they're still married.
And they're still married. Thank you, Eileen. That's not part of the game. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
They are not married, but they're together.
Yeah. How long have they been together?
25 like, years. 30 years at this point.
Since
maybe.
1983. So that's...
Oh, shit.
Way so long, like, longer than 30 years. 35 And they've
years.
Never gotten engaged.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Six the key.
I think it is.
Gretchen Rossi.
She was married before that.
And Slade Smiley. You don't
they're,
know who it is.
They're married.
Idea. They're not married. Gretchen proposed to Slade in 2013 and is currently pregnant with their first child, but they've never gotten married.
Shut up.
She doesn't want to like have his child
support
on his.
Oh, she doesn't
want
to get married. Yeah, right. Good for her.
She wants to get married, but she doesn't want to be like in debt for his child support.
Yeah.
Leighton Meester and Adam Brody.
Married.
Married.
Married. They got married in 2014.
I remember that.
Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk.
Not married.
Not married. They've been together since 2015 and they have one kid together.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga is mad about it.
And Lady Gaga broke off her engagement.
Oprah and Stedman Graham.
Not married.
Anything else about their relationship?
They've been together for a very fucking long time.
Are they engaged?
Forever? Are they in a civil union?
They've been engaged since 1992.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about a long engagement.
Oh my God. Is she planning a wedding?
Do you think she's saving 17
years?
Do you think she's saving
27 years? I'm sorry. I got too mad.
Yeah, we forgot the 2000s.
I always do that.
Yeah, same.
Leslie Mann and Judd Apatow.
Married.
With two kids.
For 21 years, yes. Anna Kournikova and Enrique Iglesias.
Married.
No idea.
Not married.
Interesting.
But they've been together since 2001 and they just had a
kid.
Together.
Or another kid, yeah.
Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling.
Married. Not married.
No? Married.
Not married.
Not no. married.
They've been together since 2011 and have two kids together, though.
Yeah. Oh, that must be why I thought they were married.
Yeah, she said like she didn't think she was going to get married and then she met him. Well, but she still didn't get married.
She's right.
Or she like didn't think she was going to like settle.
Yeah. Carrie Mulligan and Marcus Mumford.
Married as fuck.
Oh my God.
They're married.
Do you know their story?
No, please tell me. I'm in love with Marcus Mumford. Sorry, Rusty.
They got married in 2012 and they were childhood. Did you say 2012 or 2012?
I don't know. I changed
it. Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
It's the same shit. It's weird. Keep going. Tell me.
Sorry. They were childhood pen pals and then reconnected once they were both famous. They're like, oh, who's that old pen pal I had that's now worth multi-$1 million?
Well, they're both. They're both rich as fuck.
I wonder. I think he's richer.
Definitely. Yeah. 100%. He's a musician. Hold on. They got married when?
2012.
I love
2012.
Him. They just had a kid. He's really sweet. Ugh.
You know him?
I know him.
I can't believe you didn't know they were childhood pen pals.
Okay, like I don't know everything about their relationship.
British?
Yes.
Interesting.
I would love a pen pal.
Yeah, and he like talks about her on the last tour. Ugh. I just love that. Anyway.
Maybe you should get a Carrie Mulligan haircut.
No, that would not look good on me.
That would be so bad.
Okay.
So funny.
Who do you want to bachelap this week? Betches.
I want to bet slap Jon Snow because I just feel
he's
like
a piece of plastic.
I just feel like he's not doing much and I like was expecting more out of him.
I want to bet slap HBO for ordering only 6 episodes instead of 10. That's really the source of the problem.
I think I owe you guys 2 bet slaps.
Yeah. She never has anyone.
Do you bet slap one of the wedding people?
Do you want to bet slap Potemkin dad?
Like Daddy Potemkin? Daddy Potemkin. I don't care about them. I just don't give any shits about them.
Do you
want
to bet slap anyone who doesn't buy the paperback copy of
Yes,
One Tap?
Yes. I will bet slap. I'm offering 2 bet slaps to anybody who does not buy the paperback book. And especially if you yourself are a huge fan, you tell your friend to buy the book and they're like, meh, maybe later. Well, you have full permission to bet slap the shit out of them. And you have...
Aileen, we don't want to be liable for violence here.
Bet slap is a metaphorical slap where you look at someone, you go, you've been bet slapped, and then you walk away.
Being that there
should be a game show.
So there's 7 billion people in the world. We might have a few people to bet. Hopefully we do not have to bet slap any of them.
Are there 7 billion?
I am awarding 7.7. Metaphorical slaps, bet slaps. It's really slapping someone with your eyes. It's sort of like Tyra Banks used to say, like smizing is smiling with your eyes. Bet slapping is slapping someone with your eyes. It's like this.
Indeed.
I'm doing it right now.
I feel like it's more like talking shit about them.
No, with your eyes.
Emotionally
it's stating your disappointment.
No, it's actually not talking shit about them because it's saying it to their face.
It's saying it to their podcast
face.
You
hear that, HBO?
You hear that? No, Denise.
Denise from JetBlue.
Oh, my God. Wait, Alexa.
Imagine
our
Denise
friend Alexa
had like
was,
a daughter and listened.
Was listening to that episode.
She's
last
like, my mom's named Denise and she's a flight attendant on JetBlue.
Rusty's mom's named Denise. Alexa was listening to this episode and she was dying. She's like, I cannot believe Trinette had a bet slap Denise. She was the worst though.
I was still annoyed at her. Can I just say something? A $15 credit towards a future JetBlue flight is not worth 4 hours with no TV.
Oh, that's, I know.
It's not.
I'm like, get me
you
TV
can keep
now.
It. Right. You should call. Did you call?
Why? They gave me the voucher. Isn't it me accepting the voucher?
$15?
Do you think they'll give me more?
You should have been like,
what are you
I only
get
took this.
In flight snack.
I feel like this kind of thing happened. Yeah, she was like, you can have a drink. Or $15 voucher.
Why would you not call JetBlue?
Because I don't know.
You should be like, you want a bet slap? Because I'm giving you one right now.
No, you should just be like, you should just be like, you know, I took this $15 voucher, but I really thought that you guys do better. I'm a loyal customer. I fly you, blah, blah, blah. Like, then they'll give you a $50 one.
Or they'll give you a flight.
That's a good idea.
They're not going to give you a flight, but they might give you more.
They're not going to give you a flight because the TVs go out all the time. There's always like someone
with
the TV out.
They're not going to give you a flight. They're not going to give you a flight, but I think they would give you more money.
Maybe I'll call them.
It's worth it.
I'll give them a call.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? You should value how much your time is worth and then decide
my TV list time.
Yeah.
That's like my.
What did you do?
No.
I was so bored.
No, I mean, I was, you should value.
You gave, play games on your phone?
I, like, cleaned out my backpack. That's how bored I was.
I love doing
you
that.
You gave them the garbage.
I was, like, I was putting various things in the seat behind me because, like, as revenge. Please don't listen to this, Deadpool.
I love cleaning out my bag.
Same. It feels great. But, no, I mean, and you should value your time. Yes. You should say, what do I charge for an hour? Let's say you charge $1,000 an hour.
But it's, and like, then my time call, without TV.
No. Then you call JetBlue and you're like, I've been on the phone with you for 15 minutes. That's equivalent to $250. So I want a $250 voucher.
You're way better customer service than I am.
Let's just end it here.
All right. Goodbye. All right. Bye, everyone. Bye. Email slapped@betches.com. Buy our book. Bye. Love you. Bye.